Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It's the Bat Tuesday right here on the Triple Option with RBKD, and playing songs that you would hear on our sister station. But I don't know if you'd hear this song on our sister station. Now we're just playing songs from the 80s.
Well, hear me out. I think this is the day we would hear it because this is the 37th anniversary of the release of Ghostbusters. Thanks to Chris Bennett on Twitter.
The original.
The original, yep. 37 years ago to this day.
One of the few sci-fi movies I really enjoyed.
Was the second Ghostbusters better than the first?
No.
It wasn't?
No. It had its perks, but I like the original a lot more.
The original. Mm. I kind of remember the second one, but I think because of that, that tells you the original's better.
I think I like the second one better than the original.
Really? But you're also into that stuff more.
State Puff, Marshmallow Man. I think it was a better overall film.
Oh, they did
just
have that.
Stay Puft Marshmallow wasn't the first one.
Huh? Was that the first one?
Stay Puft Marshmallow was in the first one, and then the second one was with the haunted painting.
Oh, Vigo.
Yeah, Vigo, yeah.
Okay, then you're right.
But
that
then the
was
original's
better.
Better.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Some of, what are you going to call?
Yeah, I guess you're right. That was, some of the jokes may have been better in the second one, though. I got to go back and watch. It's been forever since I watched both, either number one or part two.
Bill Murray's the key. Because they had to have a Bill Murray. They had to have someone who was going to be funny. And Bill Murray's funny.
Bill Murray's funny.
Dan Aykroyd also was pretty funny.
Dan Aykroyd is funny.
Yeah, he was. But Aykroyd always was the least funny guy in any of the big movies he was with. Whether it's John Candy and Great Outdoors.
Belushi.
Whether it's John Belushi and Blues Brothers. He was always the second guy. And he plays that second guy well.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
But he needs a Bill
perfect
Murray
straight guy.
There.
Yeah, sure.
Interesting. I never thought about it like that. It's a good point, though, about Dan
Aykroyd. One of the first guys on the spectrum to come out and admit that, and also never rewatched any of his movies for a long time. Aykroyd's pretty impressive once you find out. I mean, he's legitimately autistic and was able to be as successful as he was. And went back, went rabbit holing like we do, Rod, and it was a couple weekends ago, and really read into
Dan Aykroyd rabbit hole. That's rare.
I read about Dan Aykroyd, yes.
I've also read the Aykroyd. I recommend anyone listening into read into his history, because that guy's got not only his movie star career, but his vodka business and also his beliefs about aliens.
Yeah.
He's an interesting man.
He believes in aliens?
Oh, yeah. Nice. He thought the first Ghostbusters movie, when he was making it, he was treating it more like a documentary than he was like a comedy film.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he believes in ghosts. He believes in all that. Watch some interviews where he talks about Ghostbusters. It's quite the trip, to be honest.
I bet he's losing his mind about these UFOs, too, that are being spotted all over the place recently.
Right. He's probably on the ad nude.
I mean, he's probably been trying to tell people about this forever, and now the government's actually acknowledging, yes, we don't know what the hell these things are, actually.
So the crazy thing is, these UFOs are hanging around at the bottom of the sea. So they're doing stuff that we have nothing on Earth can do in terms of flight.
Yeah.
And then they're just disappearing into the ocean. What's going on down there?
Not all of them, but
not all
some
of them.
Some of them
are.
Enough of them.
Enough of them where I'm going, what the hell's going on in the ocean?
Well, I think it's startling because these accounts are from pilots in military personnel.
Navy pilots.
People who are accustomed to the way that the technology with aerodynamics and with the technology that the U.S. has, they know all about that kind of stuff. They're accustomed to it. They've seen it before. And some of them people are saying, we've never seen anything like it. Like, it moves unlike anything we've ever seen before. They don't necessarily think it's like from space. They don't think they're aliens, though.
What is that then?
They think it's more technology from Russia or China that
they're not that far ahead.
That we don't know that.
Well,
we
China maybe.
That. That's what I'm saying. We don't know.
Russia could be too.
They said
clock them out. Yeah.
They said they're freaking out because
I don't trust either.
It's more likely to be Russia or China, and if Russia or China are that far ahead technologically of what U.S. is capable of in terms of their national defense.
Too far ahead.
And
it's too far ahead. That's 2,000 years ahead.
Casey Studdard of the Big Ugly Tailgate, he believes it's Atlanteans that we're dealing with here.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Seaman?
If some people would say that the aliens have been here, they've been here the whole time, and that's kind of his theory, I guess.
What was the Will Smith
movie? That the aliens
movie?
Are among us.
The
anyway.
Will Smith movie? That may have been Tommy Lee Jones? Is that it?
Mm.
No, what's the one where they where aliens come aliens? Down here. But
Independence Day?
That's what I said. Independence Day is only one.
Men in Black. Okay. Men in Black.
Men in Black.
You're thinking Men in Black.
Oh, yeah, Men in Black. Good one. Yeah.
Not good with movies, but I've seen that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was interesting. That made me think. I was like, oh, what if that's going on?
Yeah, that basically that there is an agency that is responsible for alien activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they use a cover as a human.
Hey, man. Go to Area 51. People will tell you.
That I believe in. I have for a long time.
It actually does exist.
It does exist.
Well, sure, it's a place you can just go up and drive to.
But here's the
not
deal.
Not too close.
The government can't drive up. But the government denied it forever.
Which only adds to the hysteria and the mystique. But they've
now
also
of
denied that these UFOs have been trying to either interact or observing us. And now they're actually acknowledging, oh, no.
Right.
There are UFOs out there. We don't know what they are.
So there's two examples of them denying stuff forever and saying you're crazy and then saying, all right, you're right. You've been right this whole time.
No, that's the government. That's why nobody trusts the government.
You're talking to a libertarian.
That's what I'm saying. But no, it is. It's fascinating.
Start playing the X-Files theme.
It is fascinating. They finally want to acknowledge it, and you almost want to know what's the motive. Why are they acknowledging it now?
Yeah.
Why do we now, the government wants to go, we don't know what these things are. They could be anything.
Because the government's always going to be...
They always side with secrecy.
The ball, so you're not focused on that. So when they do admit something, I think, all right, why?
What am I missing?
What are you shifting from right now?
Exactly. I totally agree.
For you to finally admit that when you said we're all crazy.
Yeah.
It's a distraction for.
Exactly. It's fascinating. I don't know what's going to become of the UFO discussion, but like I said, it's pretty widespread now. And the thing that is freaking out the military is because they're starting to happen during military exercises.
Yeah.
Like, they're coming around to observe the military operations and exercises.
Yeah.
And then flying away. And they're like, we would just...
The way these planes
freaky,
or...
Freaky, man. Whatever.
Objects
UFOs.
Are darting.
Yeah.
That's not China or Russia. Could be China, not Russia.
How do you know? How do you know?
Because the Chinese could be that far ahead of us. The Russians aren't.
You don't think the Russians are?
No. What about the Canadians?
No.
What do they got hiding up there? They're way too nice for their own good.
Yeah, just a bunch of passive aggressive people.
That's what they want you to believe.
Right, think about okay.
That's the real cover.
I know your belief is that it's China because technologically they're more advanced. Russia's aggressive though.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
And China's more
clandestine in their approach.
Man, if they're coming around during military exercise, that's bold.
Yeah.
Those are bold moves.
And Russia's bold.
This wouldn't even be the first time that Russia's experimented with weird sea military stuff, because like back when during the Cold War, they were trying to figure out how to like make like weaponized dolphins and seals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, this wouldn't be too far off from that.
Tell you, man. I don't know who it is, but
we're in the future, man. It's now.
Well, we are in the future because, and it's one thing, we'll get to football.
We're getting football. UT football. We're getting it.
Have
triple
you heard
option with RPKD?
No, have you heard about the ransomware epidemic that's happening?
Yes.
Right, because they just hit like the meat. It was like some meat packing.
What, you don't read anything? Yeah, no. I've gotten that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and and they hit.
I've got it with prices.
Yeah, and they hit like I guess one of the main suppliers to the East Coast East Coast gas and. It's strange because...
And then they hit the meat product,
and
right?
They're hitting different things. Do you know that the software they're getting, that you can go online and buy the software, the ransomware?
What?
They have websites for you to go buy ransomware so that you can go hold a company ransom.
Yeah. We probably need to crack down on that.
I'm not joking.
We need to crack down on that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The actual perpetrator's got it from a website. It's like a ransomware little website. You can just go on, buy it. Ask questions, Q&A, boom. And they can't track it because it's Bitcoin that they're using to to pay the ransoms. Bitcoin disappears into the,
It's true.
The internet universe.
And this is the thing about it, too, because even if they could crack it down, right, since they didn't actually do the crime, it's like, you could theoretically use this for a crime. But since they didn't do it.
It's crazy.
What can you do, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm really this guy who steps in and says, we got to talk sports here.
No, just saying. We were talking about
fascinating conversation. We may get back to it. We apologize. No. Well, actually, we don't apologize at all. We got 4 hours here. All right, let's get into some Texas football. Rod, you saw this. Joel Klatt. I think Joel Klatt is really damn good at what he does. I think he's very objective. Reminds me of you a lot, a former player who really, really uses not only his experience, but also will dig deep and research, right? And he says he sees a 10-win season for Texas this upcoming year. We would all take that, right? In a heartbeat?
Yeah.
I think we all had them around eight and a half,
I got
around
them
at
eight.
There. But you and I had them at eight. I think DK was right around there, too. So a 10-win season you would take if Texas does what? Answer that question.
According to Joe Klatt, if Bijan Robinson gets 25 touches a game, they will win 10 games.
That's it.
That's what he says.
And we've all been clamoring for that.
25 touches. Yeah, I'm glad you said touches.
Is that too simple?
It's a little too simple.
For me, too.
It's a little too simple, but he's not totally off, because the big complaint, you could argue, from Longhorn fans last year about Bijan is that Tom Herman didn't utilize him, right? He underutilized Bijan Robinson. If Tom Herman actually would have given Bijan 25 touches in those, you know, Iowa State games and the Oklahoma games, you know, there's an argument to be made that Tom Herman would still be here. Because we know Bijan Robinson, who averaged over 8 yards a carry. He is that type of player. I mean, he averaged over 8 yards a carry. His numbers are just ridiculous. I mean, they're like Wilt Chamberlain cartoonish type stats.
On the
he
field.
Averaged over 8 yards a carry on the field. Oh, who knows? Off the field. I don't know the man off the field. Maybe he is Wilt Chamberlain off the field too.
Props to you.
13 yards a catch and nearly 9 yards per touch. And he averaged almost 6 yards per carry after contact in 2020. In the last four games of the season, he averaged over 8 yards per carry after contact. If he continues on that pace, that'd be hard to think that he's going to continue on that pace, because that would put him in the Heisman conversation, in my opinion. You got the right man, Sark, to find creative ways to get Bijan the football. And I think you can do that a number of ways. You can line him out. You can split him out. You can throw the football to him. We know that Sark has said the running back position is the most underutilized position in the passing game. That's good news for Bijan, too. So you got the right man, Sark, calling the plays to maximize Bijan, and we know he's going to be the identity of the offense. Hell, Sark has said that running back position is the identity of his offense, no matter when he's calling the plays and who he's calling the plays for. So he loves the running back position.
So what type of numbers are you envisioning here for that to happen? So I'm with you. I think it's oversimplified. The cornerbacks just may not be what Kwiatkowski needs, right? And the linebackers just may get injured. And so you take the secondary with their serious questions about, and rightfully so, those guys just don't live up to what Texas fans are expecting from them. And then the linebackers don't live up to that or get injured, and it's too thin. And Texas could win eight games with Bijan killing it, yet we're missing a whole other side of the ball, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget, you know, Deontay Foreman wins the Doak Walker Award, rushes for 2,000 yards, and Texas loses to Kansas.
Bingo.
So it's not just,
I'm talking about losing to Kansas, but that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I get you. It's not just, as simple as, Bijan gets 2,000 yards, Texas is going to win 10 games. Not necessarily, but it depends on the value of those touches. A lot of times when Deontay Foreman, you know, was getting the football, it was just Texas. Really, that was the only option they had offensively. They just didn't really have a lot of dimensions, not a lot of layers to that offense. That won't be the case with Sark. You know, I did the math. If Bijan averaged 9 yards a touch last year and ends up staying on that pace, he gets 25 touches per game. That'll put him at 300 touches through 12 games, 9 yards a touch. That puts him at 2,700 total yards. Total all-purpose yards. I don't know if he's going to get there. I don't know if I want him there, because I would like, because 25 touches is, what if you're blowing him out?
Yeah.
Does Bijan need 25 touches?
No.
Well, if you're blowing him out, he's got 135 yards with 12 touches.
Right.
I think he should be done.
Yeah,
so,
he should be done.
Yeah. So I think it depends on the game and the situation, but I think 2,000 all purpose yards for Bijan, I know it sounds crazy to me. That's not unrealistic, man. He's that good. Because he has 9 yards a touch. If you're going to give him 20 touches a game, you know, you go instead of the 25 touches, say you go 20 touches a game, that should still put him close to the 2,000 all-purpose yard mark, in my opinion.
All right.
You know what I mean? So I agree with what he's saying on the theoretically. I understand exactly what he's saying. But, yeah, it's not going to be that easy.
It's not. Texas is still trying to find a quarterback, and there's no doubt that the quarterback of the future that a lot of Texas fans are looking at is Arch Manning, who is the son of Cooper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nephew of Eli, and then Eli. How did I start there? Peyton and Eli. I saw Eli with a pretty funny tweet, though. Man, Arch looks really damn good. And we knew there was a good relationship with Sark going back to Alabama and that Arch was going to be looking at Texas. But looks like he could be looking all orange. The other orange team makes a lot of sense. In fact, they just got a commitment from the Westlake product Cade Klubnik.
Cade Klubnik, yeah.
So Clemson and Texas are the favorites right now?
That's what a lot of people are saying. There was a recent report that from, I want to make sure I give this guy credit, the J-Boy Show. Well, I know it's a weird name, the J-Boy Show. I know it sounds like being derogatory. I'm not.
John Boy? Is this a Waltman episode?
It says the J-Boy. It's an SEC podcast, and okay. That at the J-Boy Show. All right, so give him props.
So SEC, and he's talking about a Big 12 team and an ACC team.
And
yeah.
Everybody assumes that Arch Manning's going to end up at an SEC school. Why? Because his uncles ended up at SEC schools.
Right.
And his, you know,
his dad
ended up at SEC.
His dad went to Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah, dad.
Was
and
a
then,
receiver
of course,
and then had the spine.
Grandfather went to Ole Miss as well. Yeah. So everybody assumes it's going to end up being an SEC school. But right now, J-Boy Show, who's an SEC podcast and has followed the recruitment of Arch Manning, he seems to think Clemson and Texas are in the lead. I've heard Mike Roach talk about it, too. And Mike Roach said, no, Texas is a realistic option. He really likes Sark. He's got a good relationship with a lot of the other coaches, A.J. Milwee, the quarterback coach. So, yeah, Texas getting Arch Manning is realistic. And even back when Eli Manning was being recruited by Mack Brown, Eli Manning admitted before David Klutkiff goes to Duke – and becomes the David Klutkiff ends up going to Ole Miss. I should say sorry. He ended up at Duke later.
Duke, but yeah, I know. Ole Miss. He was OC at Tennessee,
and then he
quarterback coach.
Yeah, and then he ends up at Ole Miss, and apparently that ended up flipping flipping the recruitment in a sense for Eli Manning, and that's when he decided because he respected Klutkiff so much that he wanted to go to Ole Miss. But apparently before that, he said Texas was in the lead.
Hmm.
I don't know how much. Yeah, I don't know how much Texas was in the lead if they were in a big lead, but still Texas in the lead. So at least with the Manning family, you'd have a bit of history there, and everybody knows Sark is a quarterback guy, and the first family of football, the Mannings, I think they appreciate that he's a quarterback guy, and they want him to have a good developmental track and a developmental foundation, and Sark can definitely provide that.
I was talking to an LSU guy, and he was hammered. No, That's when you get the best info. He was saying, man, LSU's really putting the push out because they feel like since all these guys, all the Mannings have come from Louisiana, they've missed out on all of them. Hey, we're going to make our push for Arch. I'll be interested to see how they kind of play into it. But once again, as I've talked about, and I said it right after the national championship, you have to all of a sudden be prisoner of the moment and say, Ed Orgeron's a great coach. And I go, no, he's not. He made really good hires, and they won, and we're going to see. I don't think there's a lot of sticking power and lasting power with this, and that seems to be the case. Did you see recently the lost their offensive line coach?
Yeah, they hired.
Which could help out Texas.
Yeah, they hired a new O-line coach. I'm with you.
Right now, this is like the last week this happened.
I don't think LSU stands a chance to get Arch Manning because they just have too much instability right now. With the coaching staff, I think it'll be really hard for them to sell the Mannings on them really even being there in the near future.
Yeah.
They just don't know if they're going to be there in the near future. So I think Texas has a better shot just because of stability. And, of course, Clemson, I mean, you know that coaching staff. And Dabo's done a really good job at keeping that coaching staff intact. The guys haven't gone anywhere. I mean, he had
Tony
some guys
Elliott
leave.
Left, but that was the first one to really leave.
There's been a lot of stability, I'll just say that, around there, and I think the Mannings like that.
It is. It's why Justin Ross, who was from Alabama, Alabama kid, had it down between Alabama and Clemson. Usually you'd think, okay, both those are great options, probably the two best options. But he went with Clemson, and he said, the reason I did and left state was because the coaching staff's been around longer.
Been around forever,
and the continuity is there.
Yep.
And we've seen that with Clemson. Elliott did leave, but that's still a tough team to beat. You understand why Klubnik and guys like Arch Manning are looking there. We'll get back to some college football. We got Ty Harrington coming up in about 30 minutes. We're going to talk Texas baseball. Ty is always so fun to talk to. Let's talk about name, image, and likeness with him, too. Let's get into that and kind of what a college coach, how you would maybe deal with that. But certainly we'll preview the Texas-South Florida series and also take a look at the Supers. Up next, though, a little one and done. Man, this is a tough day. 3 years ago today, one of my favorite people who I never met died. And it does remind me that we got to think about other people, and that includes athletes. Up next.
I like that five-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go one and done, and I almost always keep this to sports, and I guess this is actually going to still relate to sports because we're going to get into some Naomi Osaka, something that Rod talked about during the Rod's Rant of the Day, and there was a lot of meat on the bone. We said it at the time. We can kind of get back to that. I thought it was a really good topic to bring up because it brings sports and it brings personal stuff, and it just brings humanity and kind of what we're all dealing with life. 3 years ago today, now I'm going off of CB on Twitter, so I think we can all trust that, but he was retweeting something from Bro Bible, which has a blue check mark. So
Bro Bible.
You know it's real. I saw Bro Bible. I was like, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool name right there, right?
It's amazing they can get away with it these days.
Yeah, they can. They can. But if they're spreading a good message, then who's going to be against it, right? 3 years ago today, Anthony Bourdain committed suicide and died, and that is, man, for me, I think especially once I got to my 20s, maybe a little bit, I realized that, hey, you know, if you haven't met someone and they're a celebrity, you got to kind of be careful about maybe lionizing them too much and also, you know, thinking that you know him.
Yep.
But he's one of those guys you felt like you knew because he could relate to people and because he did seem like another person, like kind of down to earth and one of those people that it's like, oh, that makes sense. And he would also bring us into his world, which was something that we all wanted.
Yep.
And Rod, I mean, you knew me then, we were friends then, that crushed me. And you could see it when you even came to me and you go, KD, man, we weren't doing the show yet, but you said, KD, I'm sorry, man, you knew that meant a lot to a lot of us and it just hurt. And it brought up the question as someone, a lot of us have dealt with maybe some depression or anxiety, like what's going on? What was going on? And it does remind us that on the outside, you can think someone's at the top of their top of the world, right?
Yep.
And that you would do anything to trade places with them. You don't know what's going on inside.
Nope.
And you don't know what's going on upstairs. And it's been a constant reminder for me, and it has been for really 20 years, that try and always treat people like maybe they're going through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a weird thing to say, but especially if you don't know them, you don't know what that person's going through in traffic. You don't know what that person's going through if they're rude and short, getting coffee or whatever, right? That people are going through different stuff, and especially if you think that they're sitting on top of the world,
yep,
they may not be.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing for me with depression and anxiety is when you should be happy and you're not. So it's one thing if you're having a bad day and you're down. That doesn't mean that you're suffering from clinical depression or anxiety or stuff like that. It happens to everyone. That's going to be part of life. So that's the other tough thing, trying to figure it out with yourself. Is,
Do I have some serious problems?
Or is it just a bad day?
Bad day.
Or a bad month?
Whatever
or
it is.
A bad year?
Yeah. Can I pull myself out of this, or do I actually need help and support to do it?
Or do I need help?
Do I need help? And if you do need help, you need to get it.
You need to get it.
Yeah.
And reach out and talk to people. Yep. We're very, I think, objective about what we see with America, or even Austin we're talking earlier. And this country, there are things that I wish we would turn around and move in the right direction.
Yep.
Man, I'm really proud of the way, especially our society in America, has been open about this and been able to deal with this and kind of not had the same stigma that we had about mental health for a long time, which did lead to, it was a direct result of people not talking about it, not getting help, not reaching out. the world was already at that point by the time Anthony Bourdain 3 years ago, or America was, and he hung himself, and you know, and is gone forever. It is a reminder, though, that just because you think someone is doing really well, they may not be inside.
Exactly. And just because, you know, people seem to think that having either wealth or money
or talent,
being blessed with talent or good looks,
or
whatever it is, blessed in some
TV.
Way, that it exempts you
right.
from those struggles
it
with
doesn't.
What I call the dark passenger we all have to deal with at times. And it doesn't at all.
No.
Actually, at times, it can exacerbate that issue.
Accelerate it.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? For some people, because everybody's a little bit different. So I'm with you on that. That's why, and you brought it up too, man, when you find yourself at a point where everyone around you wants you to be happy and wants to be happy for you.
And you should be happy.
And you should be happy, whether it's a you know, big event in your life,
job,
or something
love,
you accomplished.
Whatever.
That's the Naomi Osaka thing, right? She found herself right after winning a major, still depressed.
Yeah.
Like she had accomplished her goal. That was her goal in life. I want to win a major. And she wanted to beat Serena Williams doing it and found herself depressed as a result and went, okay, so I devoted my young life to being the best tennis player in the world and I got there.
Essentially her entire life.
My entire
point.
Life, yeah.
yeah.
And because she's still really young. She can decide to do whatever else she wants to. And she realizes, I'm still sad.
I'm like, miserable.
I'm actually, yeah, this is yeah. It didn't make me happy at all.
You played the audience.
This didn't make me happy.
She didn't want to do anything. They said, what do you want to do next?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's how you
if
know.
I can hear it. I'm like, all right, she's depressed.
You got a problem.
And that's clinical depression.
That's clinical depression, and you need to go get some help for that. So I'm with you. When you find your, and that's, you know, the Robin Williams in that,
yeah.
in that category, Anthony Bourdain, same way. People were looking at him saying, man, he was blessed, and people loved him, and he was talented. Yeah, that doesn't exempt you from depression and from mental health issues. We all got to deal with it. And but everybody's dealing with it on their own level. Because like you said, it's easier for some people to find joy. And it's like you said, some people find joy literally, you know, working a 9-to-5. They go home to their family. That's their joy.
Yeah.
Right, some people.
And God bless them.
And God like, bless them. But some people, it's
you
tough.
Don't realize how lucky you are. Actually,
if it's easier to find your joy, don't necessarily think that everybody should be able to find their joy that easily. No, you just may be one of the lucky ones that is able to find joy in small things in life.
Right.
Not everybody can do that. We should be able to find joy in beautiful weather and going to hang out with our friends and family and loving on our pets and things like that. Find those little spaces of joy. But everybody doesn't find it that easily. Some people struggle with that and they go days, weeks, months without joy.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Right.
Without joy. You laugh at maybe The Office or some show or whatever. You're like, man, I found some joy today. And that's good. You should, you know, really have pride in that.
Eat that up
because
and also
it's not
understand
easy
that
for everybody
and work that into your day.
Yep.
Right.
Look for it, man. Look for joy. Look
it's
for it.
A good
seek
point,
it out.
There
seek
are people
it out
to go years without that.
Some people go a long time without feeling joy.
Yeah,
it hurts my heart to think about.
Right.
Like that's depression.
Yeah,
that's it in a nutshell.
And chemically everyone's different.
Everybody's different.
They just really are. And so it's hard for us as you're looking at the outside
mm-hmm.
in the appearance or maybe the mood they're putting on
yeah.
to really understand what's going on inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you just got to try and be as open-minded and honestly be as sympathetic and as nice as you can to people. And I see it on Twitter a lot. Like, it's rare that I will go on someone on Twitter. You got to come at me and kind of lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I'll think, you know what? I should, you know, I don't know what they're going through.
You never
know. And I don't know what their family's going through or what they're going through with their family. And I'll catch myself at times being like, man, you shouldn't have tweeted that back. Or, you know,
yeah.
like you just don't know.
No
and
idea.
I definitely try and do it outside of social media. Personally, when I run into someone and you can tell, maybe they're just being kind of honestly a crappy human being. And not living within the social structure that mm-hmm. we kind of all agree to, that especially here in Austin, which is, hey, you give a wave, you say hi. If someone says hi to you, you say back to them.
Yeah.
You say hi back to them. You don't be an a-hole.
Yeah.
You don't be a B.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes there's actually, it's not an excuse, but there is some reasoning behind
mm-hmm.
that. Move on, take it that way, and just try and lift people up.
Yeah. Just try to be a positive force. And throughout your life, in the lives of others, just try to be a positive force. Be part of the solution and not the problem.
Not the problem.
You've heard your parents say it in different ways, but that's it. Try to be a light.
Yeah.
Don't be part of the darkness. There's a lot of darkness out there.
So you brought it up, Naomi Osaka. What do we do here? The audio you played me, that's real. I don't think that she's trying to just get out of not talking to the media because she lost a tennis match.
Yeah.
That does sound real. It does sound like depression, anxiety. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and that's the other thing. Don't try and
diagnose people.
Or medicate people. Yeah.
You're not,
whether it's substance, because a lot of times that can be directed to anxiety, and it's not going to solve the problem, which is what you're trying to do. So let them go to professionals and get that done. Be an ear, be someone who they can lean on, and just be a sounding board, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But with Osaka, like, she's that good of a tennis player, and she may be the best women's player in the world. So you need her. And I also understand the people that are saying, hey, she signed up for something. That's part of the deal. All right. Well, maybe you got to change that deal a little bit and meet in the middle, because they need her. And clearly she's dealing with stuff right now.
Yeah. I thought they should have said, okay, how can we help you?
Yeah.
Right. If you're struggling to that point where you're going to give up your dream now, because part of this is you're going to drop out of the tournament to take care of yourself. And that's great. How can we help you? You're the number two tennis player in the world. Like, what can we do? Do you need us to? Should we start pushing mental health support for all of our players? Because if you're going through it, then there's got to be some other ladies and men going through it too. Would you like to help us actually reach out to other tennis players? Because we know it's a taboo subject; people don't like to bring it up. Can you help us, cross that line and help us kind of bridge that divide? And then say, let's work together, because she wants to work with them.
Yeah.
And like they should have been like, no, let's work together right now. We want to help you. What can we do to help? Whether it's helping you get support or whether it's the messaging, tennis shouldn't be your priority right now. But we want you to be the best version of yourself, because that's going to help all of us.
People that lead tennis make the people that lead baseball look soft. or new age. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just feels like progressive. Is really stuck in what it's stuck in.
Yeah, they're a little old school with it. But you know what? They were right up into their, enforcement of their rules, which is, no, if you are not going to meet with the media, then there is a fine. That's fine. They should have fined her.
That's part of the structure.
That's part of the structure.
I get that.
Yeah.
And you signed up for it. I get that.
Yeah. And they should have been like, listen, we got you fine. We want to donate all your fines. If you're not going to do it, we'll donate to mental health organizations, because it ain't about the money for us. It's about helping people. Like, it just should have been. It just wasn't handled the right way.
Right.
And I think both parties, she admitted she could have handled it differently, but she's the one struggling right now. She's going through it. She just needs guidance. She doesn't have any of that. She's admitting she's lost.
She's still a kid, dude.
She's still a kid.
She's still a kid.
I think they should just open their arms up to her and hug her and be like, hey, man, we got you. Like,
yeah.
You ain't got to play. You ain't got to play in this tournament. We want you to play when you are ready to play.
We'll figure this out.
We'll figure this out together.
Exactly.
It seems like now they're divided. Like, they shouldn't have let it divide them. Yeah, they should have been like,
and
no,
you
no.
need us.
Exactly. I don't know why they let it seem like it's her way or our way. It should be like, no. We're doing this together. It's Naomi Osaka and the World Tennis Association or Federation or whatever. We're all going to do it together. And they didn't do it. Now it seems like they're in two different camps about how they want to handle it. That shouldn't be the case.
Rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain, the goat of the food television world. No, that's not Guy Fieri. He is the George Carlin of the food television world. No one was funnier. No one was more on point. No one was realer than Anthony Bourdain. We miss you. If you have any problems out there, reach out. Reach out to someone you trust. Yep. Reach out to someone you like, you love, and let them know what's going on in your world. Up next, we're going to lighten it up a little bit. Off the record, would a doobie persuade you to get the vaccine?
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain bag comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Baby, bang. Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Kevin Dunn. I'm John Reichel back there twisting and tweaking the dials. All right. By now you've heard that President Biden wants to have 70% of the country vaccinated by July 4th. That is his goal. And we're less than a month away from that goal. And I believe right now the country is at 52%, 53%. There are 12 states that have 70% or more of their population vaccinated. I believe at least 63% of Americans have had one dose, I believe. So which is still pretty good, but
I don't know. 94.7 efficacy, I believe. That's that one dose.
Yeah. So I don't know if we're going to get to the 70% goal of President Biden by July 4th, but they're doing everything in their power statewide to incentivize Americans to go get this shot. And it's actually freaking hilarious.
It is.
Because Americans, we're so spoiled, by the way, because the truth is fewer than 1% of COVID-19 vaccines have been administered in poor developing countries. So they can't even get it.
They're begging for it.
I believe that America's going to start 80 million doses this month are going to start being shipped overseas.
Yeah.
Because that's why I think he's had the July 4th goal of 70%. Because after that, I guess Biden can't really justify, well, Americans need them. Like, Americans don't really need them. We're just not. They don't want them. Yeah, they just not using them.
India has needed them.
Yeah, yeah. So you can argue other countries there are in a more dire need of them. So if you haven't heard, the incentives are, man, they're all over the place. There are 1 million dollar lottery winners in like Ohio. They're doing a lottery, I believe. Yeah. Michigan's doing one too. There are scholarships given away to kids to go to school.
Hate to be a libertarian, but as a taxpayer, that pisses me off so much.
It is. It's pretty wild. Cash prizes.
If these dumbasses don't want to get it, or for whatever reason, I shouldn't say even dumbasses.
If they just don't want to get it, they don't want to get it. Yeah.
People let their, but I don't want to pay for it.
Kroger's giving away free groceries in a incentive fund. Super Bowl tickets. Budweiser, my friends at Bud are promising.
At least
promising,
that can be comped, right?
Yeah.
That's not me paying for it.
That's not you paying. That's private companies paying for it. Budweiser is saying that they will give out free beer if they reach the 70% goal by July 4th. West Virginia's giving away shotguns and free guns along with trucks. I'm not making this up.
That sounds like you're making that up.
I'm not making that up at all.
Are they giving away your sister?
No, they're giving away free guns in West Virginia. If you get the vaccination, they'll put you in a lottery, get yourself a free gun. Free childcare in New York City, New York Mets and New York Yankees tickets.
You should have followed West Virginia with they're giving away free vegetables in San Francisco or something like that, right?
In Detroit, you'll get $50 if you just can convince somebody else to get the vaccine. You get $50 for that.
How do you prove that?
I don't know.
I would take advantage of that. I'd walk in and say, like, I got 30. I've convinced 30. They signed this slip, so pay me.
And in Chicago, they have the Vax and Relax, free haircuts in Chicago, along with free plane tickets and baseball tickets. Salt Lake City's doing free tacos. You get it, all right? A lot of incentives to go get the vaccine. Well, now in Washington State, I think they got the best one. You can now get a free joint. That's right. Whereas legalized recreational marijuana in Washington State,
we're talking.
You get a free joint with your COVID vaccine in Washington State. Cannabis retailers can give the joints to adults who get an on-site vaccine. The state is calling the promotion Joints for Jabs. Sometimes I just love this country.
How good is the bud?
So much.
How good is the bud?
Oh, in Washington State, I've been. It's pretty potent.
You know, it's from Washington State who's on this show today.
Wonder who that could be.
Yeah.
John Reichel.
Whoa. Yeah.
John, how good's the weed up there?
Washington State has been in the game for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the second state to legalize right after Colorado. So they have the experience up there.
Oh, they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. Oh, man. I wonder, they probably should have like the joint with like the low THC percentage in it. How are they going to give you like the high, shelf stuff? You know what I mean? Either way, a free joint.
Am I going to be able to nap whenever I'm dealing with all the issues that some people have?
That's a good point.
Getting the vaccine.
Can you choose? Can you choose sativa or the indica?
Fever.
Right? Yeah. Everybody's got whatever floats your boat. Something different for everyone.
I'm taking the indica.
What if you're like Willie? Because Willie doesn't smoke anymore. Willie Nelson doesn't smoke anymore.
I want edibles.
He wants edibles.
Yeah.
Like he wants to consume a different way. Can you get can I change my joint for an edible?
I would think so.
I mean, I have to.
Right?
Because some people are like, I can't smoke that, but I'll take the edible.
I don't want to smoke.
I don't want to smoke.
But I will take it. Here's a
great
thing,
too. But I want my marijuana.
So if you were automatic, if you were just going to get it anyway, and you figured that out, it's like, whoa, okay.
Now I'm getting a free. Yeah, exactly. It's to incentivize those people. Some people, if you're an anti-vaxxer, this is not going to change your mind.
No.
We get it. But if you are on the fence, and you're just too lazy to go get it, and you think, yeah,
which
I want it, but I'm just
a lot
lazy.
Of people.
Which is, oh, what are you talking about? That's like a third of the country.
And they don't have an excuse. I'll talk to anti-vaxxers, and they've got a family story, a kid, and I'm like, you know what?
I get it.
That's your own deal.
I get
And I haven't lived your life, so I get it.
No question. But
or
some
at least
people,
I get you.
Yeah, some people just need a little motivation to get out there. And if you're, you know, say you like your.
Those are the dumbasses I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's
you
like, no, I get it. I'm just being lazy.
There you go. And I think that's what it's to get those people. Or on the fence, or are they just lazy?
Okay. Well, the joint beats de Blasio just can't get anything right as the mayor of New York City. And I say that with, I got hardcore liberal friends.
Oh, that are down
City.
With him?
They're down with him.
Yeah.
And I thought.